Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's exactly 5 p.m. here in Bonn, Germany. Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of Africa Link. My name is Jen Nyinge.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. Coming up, why the issue of dual citizenship is becoming a hot topic ahead of Sierra Leone's general elections in March.
The situation seems to be a witch hunt for some members of the opposition. But at the end of the day, you know, all political parties has ended up being a victim.
Also in the program, we hear from the Oxfam International Executive Director, Winnie Byanyima, about what Africa needs to do to bridge the gap between rich and poor.
We would like governments, political leaders, to take the driving seat and manage the economies for the benefit of the majority and not for the few at the top.
And tension between the Kenyan and South Sudanese governments over the disappearance of two South Sudanese activists.
All that and much more coming up shortly, but first, let's hear what has been happening around the world.
I'm Shay Meineke with DW News. German Chancellor Angela Merkel arrived on Wednesday in Davos, Switzerland for the World Economic Forum, where she was greeted by French President Emmanuel Macron and several other European leaders before giving a speech on multilateral solutions to global problems. During her speech, Merkel warned that national egoism is making it difficult for nations to cooperate.
Wir glauben, dass wir kooperieren müssen.
We believe we have to cooperate and that protectionism is not the right answer. And we believe that if we share the opinion that things are not being done fairly and the mechanisms aren't reciprocal, then we should look for multilateral solutions and not unilateral ones that ultimately only promote isolationism and protectionism.
Letztlich die Abschottung und den Protektionismus nur befördern.
U.S. President Donald Trump is expected to make an American First speech on Friday and would be the first sitting U.S. president to attend the Economic Forum since Bill Clinton in 2000. Also in Davos, Zimbabwean President Emmerson Mnangagwa announced that the South African country would hold presidential and parliamentary elections before July. The vote was previously expected in late July or August. Mnangagwa took office in November in the first election since Robert Mugabe was ousted after 37 years in power. He said he welcomes a free and fair election and would accept the result if he loses. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi has officially launched his bid for a second term in office. One day after authorities detained former Army Chief of Staff and presidential hopeful Sami Anan. A London-based watchdog expressed concern with the arrest, saying Anan was detained because he was considered to be a serious presidential contender. His detention now leaves opposition rights lawyer Khalid Ali as the only other candidate to challenge for the presidency. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni came out in strong support for U.S. President Donald Trump on Wednesday, telling members of the regional East African Legislative Assembly that Trump speaks frankly about Africa.
America has brought one of the best presidents ever, Mr. Trump. I love Trump. I love Trump because he tells Africans frankly, the Africans need to solve their problems. They need to be strong.
The long-serving Ugandan president made his remarks after a U.S. ambassador apologized for Trump's alleged vulgar reference to African nations, which several other African leaders had condemned. At least 35 people are dead after two car bombs went off near a mosque in Libya's eastern city of Benghazi. Local media sources say that at least 60 people were wounded, adding that local militia leader and several senior security officials are believed to be among the casualties. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack. And now in sports, former number one tennis star German Angelique Kerber advanced to the semifinals at the Rod Laver Arena of the Australian Open, dominating American Madison Keys in just under 1 hour. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
You are listening to DW's Africa Link. I am Zipporah Nyambura.
And my name is Jen Nyingi.
We start off in Sierra Leone, where dual citizenship has become a hot topic ahead of the general election in March. More than 50 aspiring candidates, mostly from the diaspora and various political parties, have been barred from contesting the upcoming elections due to their dual citizenship status. Most notable is Sierra Leone's opposition candidate, Dr. Kande Yumkela, from the National Grand Coalition, NGC, and a former United Nations senior official. Critics of the government believe the debate is a witch hunt, but the ruling party maintains the law should be followed. The Sierra Leone National Electoral Commission is set to decide whether Yumkela will be eligible to vie for the country's top seat. Claudia Anthony reports from Freetown.
The 1973 Citizenship Act of Parliament was amended in 1976 and in 2006. But it's only this year that it's been enforced, which has raised questions on the motive behind it. Campaign for Human Rights and Development says it is clear that the opposition candidates are being targeted. Abdul M. Fatoma is the executive director.
The situation seems to be a witch hunt for some members of the opposition. But at the end of the day, you know, all political parties has ended up being a victim. And whereas, you know, some set of oppositions are jubilating, you know, than the ruling party, and some other oppositions, you know, think that this is a clear attack on their leadership. It is hard to be handled now because a government that has, you know, deliberately distanced themselves from the TRC recommendations and the orchestration of this very clause, you know, just remind us about some of the things that the TRC recommend we should respect and we should not tolerate.
So what do the citizens think about the seeming confusion barely 6 weeks to the elections?
The now president, His Excellency Dr. Ernest Bai Koomah, took over from the late president, Dr. Ahmed Tijani Kabah. We see different people vying for these positions that we are citizens from other countries, but we see none of these things were measured by then. And His Excellency Dr. Ernest Bai Koomah, or the All People's Congress political party, took power since 2007 till now, which is 10 years. Then just now, because of other political parties are now showing interest for vying for these positions, they just want to eliminate them from the race, which I think is really, really, really not favorable for Sierra Leoneans.
This thing has been not is a law actually, but it was not affected.
There are 2 days to go before the final nomination and approval process by the National Electoral Commission is done. And with the political campaign officially set to start on February 4th, the pressure is on to resolve the dual citizenship issue.
Claudia Anthony reporting from Freetown.
Zippy, let's now move to the East African part of Africa, and the Kenya and South Sudan governments have been urged to step up investigations and disclose the whereabouts of two South Sudanese men who went missing a year ago in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. Ndong Loak is a renowned South Sudanese human rights lawyer and activist, and Agri Andri is a vocal government critic and a member of the South Sudan government opposition. Observers and human rights groups say they were abducted by or at the request of South Sudanese officials. DW's Eddie Micah Jr. with more.
In a statement on Tuesday, Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch have criticized authorities of both countries for failing to investigate the disappearance. Opponents of the South Sudan government, either real or perceived, have been targets of abuse and threats, apparently from government sources, even when outside the country's borders. Numerous activists and opposition members who fled South Sudan have reported threats and intimidation by suspected South Sudanese government agents. Don Luak fled his country in 2013, but continued to denounce human rights abuses and corruption after moving to Nairobi. On January 27th last year, a Kenyan court ruled that the men should not be deported, but by then, both had gone missing and were presumed illegally transferred to Juba. A month later, their family and some non-governmental organizations filed a habeas corpus petition in demanding their release. But the court found there was no sufficient evidence that they were in Kenyan custody. The judge ordered police to open a criminal investigation, which is ongoing. Although South Sudanese officials have denied holding the men or knowing where they are, Amnesty and Human Rights Watch say they have credible information that two men had been seen in custody at the National Security Services headquarters in Juba on January 25th and 26th last year. The rights groups believe the two were taken from custody on the 27th of January. But Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International say it has, in the recent past, allowed deportation of South Sudanese nationalities with refugee status.
DW's Eddie Micah Jr. Over 3,000 delegates, among them top world leaders and members of the political and business elites, are in Davos, Switzerland for the World Economic Forum. Trade, globalization and equality are some of the issues top of the agenda. The head of the African Union, Paul Kagame, is heading the African delegation.
Speaking on the sidelines, Winnie Byanyima, the executive director of Oxfam International, told DW's Helena Humphrey that inequality should be tackled to reduce poverty, especially in developing countries. Take a listen.
We would like governments, political leaders, to take the driving seat and manage the economies for the benefit of the majority and not for the few at the top. So, for example, they should institute a living wage, a minimum wage, which is a living wage. People at the bottom can have a decent life. They should make sure that men and women are treated equally in the economy. They can use law to establish pay equity for men and women. They should make sure the rich and the big companies pay their taxes and stop dodging, and then put the money they collect into health and education of all the people, because that's the greatest leveler against inequality.
I want to pick you up on that point regarding gender inequality and income inequality, because the two are often closely linked. What are your thoughts on the Time's Up movement, and how necessary do you think it is that governments now follow through with this?
Indeed, economic inequality and gender inequality are locked together. The countries that have the widest gap between men and women also have the widest gap in incomes between rich and poor. To tackle that, you need to tackle both together. You need to understand that the greatest majority of the poorest people are women, and that they are discriminated against through law and also through informal laws. That's the traditions, the culture, the beliefs of people. And it's not the job of just governments. It's also the job of the private sector to tackle social norms that discriminate against women. Because those social norms actually that are used to justify economic exploitation of women. So to companies especially, they can use their supply chain, how they source their products. They can use their factories to ensure that social norms that discriminate women are dealt with. They can use their advertising to address gender inequalities and discrimination and violence against women.
That was Winnie Byanyima, Executive Director of Oxfam International, speaking to DW's Helena Humphrey, and she's speaking about the issues of inequality in the ongoing World Economic Forum in Davos.
Yes, indeed. And there is a lot of conversation regarding this on our social media platforms. And on Facebook, Rolf von Olfov wrote, "The rich have the psychological tools to exploit the rest. One way to change that is better education for all and not just a few."
Rujob Bhatti says, "If only socialists could understand how the economy works."
And we have this one from Russia. He says, "Unemployment must be tackled first. Then Africa's contribution is so small because of corruption. Then they keep the money instead of investing it and creating more. Third, taxes are collected by governments and either spent in weapons or they go into pockets of the corrupted officials or government officials."
And that is what Byanyima was talking about, the Oxfam director, about the issue that, like, the rich are actually the ones who are benefiting and the poor people are only becoming poorer in Africa.
Absolutely. If you've just joined us, this is Africa Link.
You are listening to Africa Link. I'm Zipporah Nyambura.
And my name is Jen Nyinge. Coming up in the next 15 minutes, forced to marry a 65-year-old man at 16 the reality of forced marriage in Cameroon.
The first day he wanted to sleep with me, I refused. I did not want it. It was on day 3 that he had me seriously beaten and I could not move. He forced me.
Plus, we will find out why the white shark population is dying out in South Africa.
But first, let's go to Democratic Republic of Congo. And the UN has urged DRC government to investigate alleged killings by security forces during anti-government protest over the weekend. The UN Human Rights Office warns this latest crackdown by security forces in DRC indicates a recurring pattern of repression against political opponents of Congolese President Joseph Kabila. A group of UN observers and representatives of the UN peacekeeping mission in the country, MONUSCO, there to prevent violence against civilians, were also attacked by the police. DW's Christina Kripal spoke to MONUSCO spokesperson Florence Marshall in Kinshasa, and she starts by explaining the relationship between the peace mission and President Joseph Kabila's government.
MONUSCO is in the DRC at the invitation of the Congolese government. So we are here to support the government in its effort to lead the country towards stabilization and development. We have a joint operation with the Congolese armed force. So there is room for improvement in the relationship.
Now, there are reports of new alliances being formed in the east of the Congo. Do you see a new threat for Congo's security in the formation of these new alliances?
Of course, we are aware of the situation going on everywhere in the Congo. And there are a lot of armed groups in the eastern part of the country. And our mandate is really to fight these armed groups and to neutralize them because they represent a threat, an unacceptable threat for the civilian population. The Congolese force have launched a massive operation both in North Kivu and in South Kivu in order to put an end to these armed groups.
U.S. President Donald Trump has cut payments to the United Nations. Is this going to affect MONUSCO?
It's something that will affect the whole peacekeeping operation. It has already started. We have already a decrease of 8% in our budget. And again, it will affect the whole peacekeeping operation, including MONUSCO. And it's the reason why we are working in order to reorganize our activities, in order to keep on fulfilling our mandate. Protection of civilians, but also support to the implementation of the political agreement of the 31st December 2016. And yes, we are in the process of reviewing our programs in order to fulfill our mandate in an even more efficient way with less resources.
MONUSCO spokesperson Florence Marshall in Kinshasa speaking to DW's Christina Kripal.
And Jane, talking of Donald Trump, he seems to be making headlines elsewhere as well.
Of course, he's in news like every day since he became the president.
And this time it's in Uganda. Uganda's President Museveni said that he actually loves or respects Trump for speaking what he says is the truth. This is his statement which he said the other day. And of course, we ask on our Facebook what people thought about Museveni's comments that he respects Trump for speaking the truth. And the comments are overwhelming. Mohamed Bukhari says he meant that Trump, Museveni actually meant Trump is the only U.S. leader who speaks his heart while others speak in a very sweet manner.
Ajia Ishaya Kanam is like siding with President Museveni of Uganda. He says wise words from a decent man.
And Jennifer Dike says about Museveni, you're one of the African problems. How do we solve you?
And Isaac Godwin says he should focus on creating jobs and improving the condition of Uganda instead of praising one who is insulting the state of his nation.
And Melba Chitalu says Museveni is right. African leaders are a problem, including himself.
My goodness. And Zippy, if you are asked, what can you remember Trump for? Because for me, when someone mentioned the name President Trump, I just remember about the way he was talking about, I have a bigger button in my table I can press, and the other one is talking about a smaller button.
I think for me, the latest comment about Africa has made headlines, and for me, that sticks, Jane. And that is why it's still making headlines, and people are still talking about it on our Facebook page.
Yes, indeed.
On the spot.
Single mothers in Cameroon who are forced to get married at a very tender ages have begun a campaign to stop forced marriages, especially in chiefs' palaces in the Central African state. Some of the mothers were forced to get married to traditional rulers who already had as many as 10 to 20 wives and are living with HIV or AIDS after the deaths of their husbands. The women held a peaceful protest in front of the chief's palace in Yaoundé. Our correspondent there, Moki Kinzeke, followed the protests.
The first day he wanted to sleep with me, I refused. I did not want it. The second day, it was the same thing and we fought ferociously. It was on day 3 that he had me seriously beaten and I could not move. He forced me.
That is 16-year-old Karine Dolo narrating her marriage experience with traditional ruler Bengono Pierre Marie. He says he is a custodian of African traditions. Karine is his sixth wife, and she says she was forced by her parents to get married to the 65-year-old man. Outside his residence at the Yaoundé Briqueterie, about 300 women have come to silently protest against forced marriages. Bengono says if he was aware of their visit, he would have asked his guards to stop them.
C'est depuis que je vis autour de moi.
For a long time now, I have been a victim of violence from women. I'm talking about violence inflicted on men by women. When she has a problem, she calls for enforcement. And now I understand that they want to say women should dominate, not men. I have taken it upon myself to protect my population.
But his wife Karine disagrees. She decided to report her case to the Association of Single Mothers and the Association of Teenage Widows that defend rights of women and fights for a stop to teenage pregnancies. The associations took Karine and other girls to the traditional ruler to tell their story and discourage forced marriages and teenage pregnancies. 15-year-old Josephine Bella, also a victim of forced marriage, says she was battered by her husband, who did not accept he was responsible for her pregnancy.
I returned to my grandmother in the village. The pregnancy grew to 2 months and she did not even know. My aunt visited us and I told her what had happened. She advised me to go to my parents and surprisingly, my mother ordered me to return to the man's house. I went back to the man, and surprisingly, he denied that he was responsible for the pregnancy.
Among the women encouraging the teens and fighting for the respect of their rights is Anne Stella from Mumbat. She says many of the girls got infected while in polygamous homes, especially in chiefs' palaces.
We had this HIV pandemic, and many more husbands died than wives. And as usual, the death of the husbands will always be blamed on the wives in order to have their property. And the question was, were we going to sit quiet and allow this thing happen? You see, ironically, even a widow who was infected and eventually died was regarded as having paid for killing the husband.
She also warns about the dangers of wife inheritance, saying this could have huge health ramifications on other sexual partners.
What if the husband of this woman died of AIDS and this woman is probably infected? It means that any man who takes over the woman takes over that illness also, and he will in turn infect the other wives.
Moki Kinzeka with that report from Yaoundé.
Living Planet Africa.
Now, for a tourist visiting South Africa, the adrenaline rush for coming face-to-face with the notorious great white shark is top of their travel agenda. But tour operators running cage diving expeditions are worried the powerful predators are becoming scarce on South Africa's, especially at the west coast part of the country.
Scientists fear the local white shark population may be dying out. At the World Wildlife Convention in Johannesburg in September, they called for the animals to be listed as an endangered species. Jan Philippe Schluter took to the shark-infested waters to find out more. His report is voiced by Ruby Russell.
We're on subtropical South Africa's west coast. But the Atlantic waters here off Gans Bay never exceed a nippy 14 degrees Celsius. Oh, okay. The tour boat's 7 passengers are well protected in neoprene dive suits. But with this much adrenaline, who'd feel the chill anyway? Sitting in a steel cage suspended at the water's surface, they're about to have their first encounter with a great white shark.
So nervous.
Too nervous.
Yeah. Oh.
Among them is Niklas, a 26-year-old student from Cologne in Germany.
I'm fascinated by sharks. Always have been, actually. So I thought, since I'm here in the area, I've got to do this.
For now, the caged divers sit and wait, staring into the water. A stinking brew of fish heads, chopped sardines and fish oil is poured overboard to attract the sharks. But whether the stars of the show turn up or not is down to them, says marine biologist Sara Andriotti with a grin. She's been researching great whites here at Gans Bay for 7 years now.
They all have different personalities. Some of them get very skittish by the situation, they just leave. Some of them stick around, and these are the ones we can play with. We are making them waste a little bit of time.
Suddenly, the command comes. Put your goggles on, take a deep breath and dive. And here it is. A great white, nearly 4 metres long, rushes toward the boat, turns elegantly at the last moment, and glides right past the cage, eyeing the shark watchers and flashing sharp triangular teeth.
Remember, the shark's not going to stop to pose for pictures. Good.
It's the first of 4 of the otherworldly giants to make an appearance today. A good turnout by current standards, tour operator Michael Rutzen says with regret.
Before, I think the average that we saw in a day is 7 or 8, and the numbers of sightings have definitely decreased.
Rutzen also invests in shark research. Among other things, he's co-financed a population study by Sara Andriotti from Stellenbosch University. The results are worrying. According to Andriotti, the number of great whites off the South African coast has fallen.
We could estimate that we have in between 300 and 500 white shark left around the coastline. What we are worried about is if nothing changes in the pattern we are seeing now, we might see them going.
According to Andriotti, humans are to blame for the shark's decline. It's down to a combination of pollution, illegal hunting, overfishing of the shark's prey, and badly designed shark nets, which are meant to protect swimmers but can ensnare the animals and kill them.
Report compiled by Jan Philippe Schluter. And just to remind you some of our top stories today, dual citizenship has become a hot topic for Sierra Leoneans. And on top contention is opposition candidate Dr. Kole Yumkela, who is about to be locked out.
Yes,
when
indeed.
When the Sierra Leone National Electoral Commission decides on his fate.
And to find more, go to our Facebook page or our page at DW Africa.
And that is all we had for you today. My name is Ipora Nyambura.
And my name is Jane Nyinge. Thank you so much for your time.